Good evening and welcome, my friends, to Monday. You're listening, of course, to Monday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. Monday, February 19th, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Yes. Well, I got to tell you about this. This is very exciting. It was like 55 degrees today, about 60 almost, and sunny and warm and very, very windy, which means that even if they were spraying some chemtrails, they just blew away. So I was very excited about that. It's almost like spring again. We're supposed to see 70s, I think, maybe by Thursday. Very exciting. So I'm just tired of the cold. I'm absolutely tired of it. And today, finally, most of the ice has melted. Most of the snow has melted. I know. You're saying, well, how can there be ice and snow? Well, we have a lot of shade. We're up in the mountains. We have trees, things like that. So, you know, there's still some hanging on. But for the most part, it's over and done with, which I'm very excited about. Now, will it be done for the year? Probably not. It's just not it's not in the stars for me, I guess you could say. You know, I moved down south. I was tired of the snow and the cold. It's fine, I guess, for a short period of time, but for the most part, it just gets on my nerves. Now, you'll probably hear me singing a different tune come summer when we top like 100 degrees, but nevertheless, it's just, it is what it is. So anyway, just a little update there as far as that goes. Our guest will be joining us in about an hour, from what I recall. It's been a chaotic day for me. A member of the family had to go in and have some surgery and, you know, all that. So it's just, it's been a very trying experience for me. And I'm not even there. I'm not even in the hospital. But, you know, it's just one of those things. When you focus on health and you take a look at doctors and their track record, sometimes you tend to doubt their effectiveness. So that all being said, it's... I feel a little out of sorts today, so you have to pardon me for that. But hopefully we can still deliver you a wonderful and fascinating program. Shortwave frequency, of course, my friends, is 3.215. You can listen online at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can also listen online at franklyspeakingradio.com. We urge you to do so. Also urge you to be a part of the program. It's very easy to do. You pick up the phone and you dial 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. It's very easy to do. So my schedule for the evening looks like probably news and then our guest, and then we'll do some more news. But again, if we have calls, we can take calls. I don't mind those in the slightest. It's been a very interesting source of discussion the past few sort of open lines, but I imagine that at some point things will, I don't know, maybe... go somewhere else. Who knows? You never can tell with open lines, and that's why I like them. I like to be able to have a discussion on a variety of different subjects, a variety of different matters, because I feel that with a nighttime program, I'm a little more, I have a little more room to wiggle, a little bit more diversity, and that's why I try to cover so many different topics here on this show. It all ties in. Everything's interconnected at some level. And I think when people start to understand that, they can start to see the significance of things that maybe appear to not have any significance, such as weather changes, such as secret societies, the occult, any manner of things. It starts to get kind of weird. But it does tie in. It does have its place. It was not put here for no reason, much like ourselves. We're all here for our purpose. And I know a lot of people out there probably feeling lost these days. We all are, because we're on the, sort of the verge of something big going down. And, you know, obviously it takes a certain sort of functional attention deficit disorder to be able to keep it all in focus at the exact same time. Hopefully you have that skill. Hopefully I have that skill since I'm hosting the program. Anyway, stay with us here, my friends. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Glad you're here, as I mentioned. We got some important stuff. We kind of alluded to it last week and didn't really get a chance to cover the news on it. And here is a series of news stories highlighting what we're talking about, which is, of course, the activity on the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. This is a big story, and I think that, again, as we had stated last week, that I think this is going to be one of the flashpoints that kind of kick off the whole modern-day crusade, if you will. It's YNetNews.com, February 6th. Palestinian organizations threatened on Tuesday to respond with attacks inside Israel if its Antiquities Authority continues work to reinforce the Mughrabi Gate, which leads to the Temple Mount and is in danger of collapsing. Several Arab youths hurled rocks at security forces Tuesday afternoon in protest at the works. In all, 11 youths have been arrested. Ramadan Adassi, a senior member of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, told Ynet earlier on Tuesday that his organization would respond with full force and will carry out attacks should the works continue. The Islamic Jihad organization said two Qassam rockets it fired earlier this morning were in response to those works. The Antiquities Authority intends to insert support columns for the Mugrabi Gate after the original pathway collapsed during a snowstorm in 2004, and the temporary bridge constructed at the site was deemed dangerous. The Mugrabi Gate is used by Jews and tourists to reach the Temple Mount. It is also where police prepare to break into the mount on Fridays when riots develop at the site. How funny is that, that they have a specific place that they gather on Fridays to break up riots? Yeah, that's where they gather on Fridays whenever riots break out, which apparently is only on Fridays and apparently often enough where they have a specific gathering place. Mir Ben Dov, an archaeologist and excavation director near the Temple Mount for 39 years now, said the decision to take down the collapsing Mugrabi Gate and build two bridges in its stead may lead to bloodshed. He said, quote, "Things were pretty quiet here until now. Why this combustion now? Why does it need to come to religious battles?" End quote. Well, that's really the question I think everyone would be asking, and I think that's the question on everyone's minds. Why? And the answer is, of course, to fuel tensions. It's specifically for that purpose, I believe. Jerusalem Lobby Chairman M.K. Colette Avital called on the government to call off the reinforcement work, saying, quote, "We must prevent the unnecessary tensions in Jerusalem," end quote. Meretz Chairman M.K. Yossi Belin called the works, quote, unquote, "irresponsible," saying that there might have quote-unquote, devastating consequences, end quote. So, you know, those who'd say, oh, Frank, you're just, you're taking this all out of context. This is something that's good for everybody. No. Actually, quite a few people are against this, which you'll find as we progress with the story. This one 2 days later on the 8th, albawaba.com. For the third day, Israeli bulldozers have been raising and destroying the hill of the Al-Maghariba Gate, one of the gates of Al-Aqsa Mosque. Thousands of Israeli police and border guards deployed in the old city of the occupied Jerusalem and the besieged Al-Aqsa. According to the report, Israeli police installed more checkpoints in and around the old city and assaulted and arrested scores of Palestinians. Israeli police prevented Palestinian girl students from reaching their Aqsa secondary school and denied the access of Al-Aqsa guards and employees to the mosque. So in essence, and obviously there's some discrepancy with the translation here, but you can get the gist of it here. They view things a little bit differently at albawaba.com, which I'm not sure exactly where this is out of, but it's certainly not like the last story, which is an Israeli news source. Different perspective, same story. Meanwhile, it says Israel's defense minister has written to Prime Minister Ehud Olmert asking for an immediate halt to public works near Al-Aqsa Mosque that have sparked rage all over the Islamic world. According to AFP, Amir Peretz said works should stop, citing fears that the security situation will deteriorate. So that is the defense minister of Israel saying that this needs to stop right now. Like I said, a lot of people calling for this thing to stop, yet it's not stopping. We'll get into that. IsraelNationalNews.com, February 9th, the next day. More than 2,000 Israeli police officers have taken up positions around the Temple Mount Friday in anticipation of possible Arab rioting on the Muslim Day of Prayer. Muslim leaders in Israel and abroad have been inciting their faithful to hold mass protests against construction work being carried out on a walkway near the Western Wall Plaza. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert decided Thursday to go on with the construction project despite the tension surrounding it. And obviously, despite the fact that politicians on all sides are basically saying this needs to not happen at this time. Israel's General Security Service currently has concrete information about 13 planned terrorist attacks against Israeli targets. So, you know, in essence, on the first day from the first story, they basically said, look, we're going to be attacking in response to all this. And then again, very prominent and influential people coming out and saying, no. No, no, this doesn't need to happen, including experts in the field, archaeologists and whatnot. And it's still continuing to happen. And, of course, they've been threatening the just Muslims, I guess, in general, but certainly Palestinians, threatening to launch attacks against Israel. And they know about apparently 13 of them, and odds are probably will allow that to happen. This whole thing is, like I said, one of many flashpoints around the planet, but I think this one is one of the key ones. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is, you know, pretty much the second most holiest location in all of Islam, second to Mecca, I believe, which means that obviously this sort of situation under the guise of, oh, well, we had a snowstorm 2 years ago, so let's fix it, or 3 years ago, so let's fix it now. It does have some people wondering, and I think it's appropriate and important to wonder along with them. This is from the Jerusalem Post, February 9th. Archaeologist Mir Ben-Dov, who we just mentioned, who had a previous excavation work at the Temple Mount, said Friday morning, there is no need for the current renovations to be carried out at the Mugrabi Gate and that the planned bridge was not required. During an interview to Israel Radio, Ben-Dov said that the excavations were illegal and had not received the required permits. Very interesting there, because again, this guy is an authority. He's been doing this stuff. He knows what he's talking about. This one came out on the 12th, YNetNews.com. Jerusalem Mayor Yuri Lapalianski suspended late Sunday night construction of a pavement at the Mugrabi Gate in a bid to douse Muslim anger at renovation work near the Temple Mount. Muslim leaders fear the deployment of heavy machinery near the mount could damage the foundations of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, with some saying the renovation work is an act of provocation by Israel. Israel has rejected these claims. Lapalianski decided to postpone the renovation work until zoning authorities complete drafting plans for the Mugrabi Gate area. Jerusalem residents, Arabs and Jews alike, will be given sufficient time to review the zoning plans and to submit letters of opposition to the renovations. At the center of the dispute are plans to reconstruct an existing bridge that leads pedestrians to the Mugrabi Gate in the Old City. Lapalianski said he hoped for an ease, quote, in tensions in Jerusalem. I believe that the cooperation in Jerusalem can bring about coexistence without mutual disregard, end quote. The works could be suspended for months. Police squashed attempts by Muslim youths to ignite mass riots and protest at the works soon after Friday's prayers broke off. Stones and Molotov cocktails were hurled at policemen who fired stun grenades to disperse the rioters. So it looks like, hey, you know, things were really tense there, and things were getting out of control, and it was a bad scene. So thank God the mayor there had stepped in and halted all the works. That's a good thing, because obviously things were escalating. And that came out on the 12th. But then we've got this one from the 14th, MiddleEastOnline.com. It says the following. Israel denied a report Tuesday that archaeological excavations and building work near Jerusalem's most contested holy site had been abandoned, as angry Muslims continue to slam the project. So, the story comes out, and you've got, obviously, a quote right there from the mayor saying, hey, look, you know, we're putting the kibosh on this. We're going to let it go through the process where people get to weigh in with it. We'll have town hall meetings. People can explain what they think, and we'll get all the permits necessary, and we'll go through with it in a few months. And everyone says, oh, that was a close one. Well, 2 days later, Israel comes out and basically denies that the excavations and building projects had been abandoned. They said, no, we have not abandoned them. Very interesting. Said government spokeswoman Miri Eslin, after a newspaper reported that the company which owns land next to the site had called off work, she said, quote, no suspension, no halt. The archaeological salvage will continue, end quote. Now, that's interesting as well, calling it an archaeological excavation. I thought it was a repair job, all right? I mean, they're going to tear out the gate and put in some bridges and whatnot, but apparently they're also doing some excavating as well. Now, this has been going on for a while, and we'll get into some of the coverage of that in one of our final stories here in this segment. But anyway, she said, quote, the government of Israel decided in November of 2004 to reconstruct the Mugrabi ramp, which leads up to the Temple Mount. The salvage archaeological dig, which was started last week as the first step towards reconstruction, will continue, end quote. Now, she's a government spokeswoman, so apparently it's pretty definitive there. Just from her statements, I get the feeling that they're not stopping any of this process, despite all of the people that have come forward and said, not only is it a bad timing, you know, to do these types of things, because you are going to stir up tensions that are already there, but also it's illegal. There have not been permits filed and so on and so forth. Then you've got the mayor of Jerusalem basically saying, no, this isn't going to happen. And then the Israeli government says, yes, it is. So guess what? It's happening. And this is important to understand. Nassim Arzi, manager of the government-run Jewish Quarter Development Agency, also denied that work was being abandoned, saying, quote, I want to tell you that's not true. I haven't started to work on the bridge yet, as I have some months still to finish the archaeological dig, but for now I'm continuing the work as planned, end quote. So there you have it. Suspension of the work has not taken place. In fact, it's just continuing on as planned. As planned. It makes you wonder what else might be planned. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back here in about 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
has received.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. We've seem to have had some sort of technical issue during the break there, and hopefully it will be rectified and sorted out very, very soon. But until then, you might have to deal with me on the phone for a little bit. But again, if you've listened to the show with any degree of regularity, you know this is just par for the course. These types of things happen to us all the time. Anyway, as we were saying, we were talking about this new segment about the Temple Mount, sort of what sort of activity is going on there, and the different people have come out against it, and yet it still continues. Very, very interesting. Again, this story came out on the 14th from MiddleEastOnline.com. It says, Jerusalem Mufti Sheikh Mohammed Hussein and the head of the Israel Islamic Movement, Sheikh Raed Salah, both called a news conference to heavily criticize the excavations and urged Palestinians to mobilize against the project on Friday. Said Hussein, quote, "We continue to denounce the aggressions from against the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We will all stand together in the front ranks to defend Al-Aqsa and the holy city of Jerusalem," end quote. They called for continued protests and said Friday would be a day of mobilization for all Palestinians. Very, very interesting, folks. Because, again, all it's going to take is just some kind of response. I would equate this construction project, this archaeological excavation, as just a sharp, you know, stick being poked into your side. At some point, you're going to swat it away. And, again, I'm not encouraging terrorism. I'm no fan of it. I would love for there not to be any of this violence. But I do think this is simply an attempt to kick it into high gear. So we have to watch this. And the interesting thing about this is because the Al-Aqsa Mosque is basically the second holiest place in all of Islam, in essence, that means other countries are going to be upset about it as well, not just the Palestinians. In Damascus, tens of thousands of Syrians and Palestinians have demonstrated against the project on Tuesday, slamming what they termed, quote-unquote, Israeli crimes in carrying out the work near the mosque compound. Israeli police mayor of annexed Jerusalem, Yuri Lupulianski, decided Sunday to suspend work to replace a damaged wooden bridge leading to the Al-Aqsa compound with a stone ramp in order to allow public discussion of Israel's plans. Nevertheless, the Israeli authorities have denied that the works pose any risk to the holy sites and said that construction work is necessary following an earthquake and a snowstorm damage in 2004. So again, even though Israel placed the mayor in position and even though he had basically made a ruling on it, inviting, you know, the public to respond and to, you know, get involved with this, Israeli authorities have sort of overruled him, and they said, no, it's fine. There's no danger. There's no damage that's going to take place. So nothing to worry about here. Go back to sleep. This is an instigation, in my humble opinion, but we'll get on with that. The fate of Jerusalem and its holy sites is one of the most contentious issues in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was at the compound that the second Palestinian uprising erupted in September of 2000 after a visit by then-Israeli opposition leader Ariel Sharon. In 1996, more than 80 people were killed in 3 days of Palestinian riots after then-Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu opened a new entrance to a controversial archaeological tunnel near the holy sites. So you can see, folks, this is nasty, and it's going to get nastier. Stay with us, and we'll be back after this short break with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep.
the Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. It's Monday evening, and quite a week already. When you look at the news cycle, it's just intense, man. There is so many new developments in so many different arenas and areas that we must try to analyze and pick apart, and I hope that you're joining us here on this trip as we do this. Let me remind you, of course, of a very important detail, and this is our sponsor for the hour. It's being brought to you by Howard Creek Resort. They're great, great, great people who have been nothing but extraordinarily kind to us. They feature 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to many fun things you can do only in this area. So go and visit Howard Creek Resort. It's the perfect family vacation spot any time of the year, in the midst of summer, in the midst of winter. Regardless, they're open. They're available there for you. You can visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. We certainly appreciate them and all that they do for us here, making this show possible for all of us. Now, we left off. We were talking about the Temple Mount and all the different shenanigans going on there and about how this thing is being basically forced through. And I said, you know, watch for this. This is an important story because, in essence, somehow, some way, Israel has managed with this event to really tick off everybody, not just a neighbor here or there, but all Muslims everywhere. So they're really setting themselves up for some sort of attack, and maybe that's the whole point of it. I don't know. But that leads me to this story right here from February 7th. This is from Israel National News. Iran's spiritual leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, called on Islamic nations Wednesday to, quote-unquote, retaliate against Israel for the construction work currently being carried out near the Temple Mount. He said in a meeting with Ramadan Abdullah Shala, leader of Islamic Jihad, according to Iranian state television, the following, quote, "The world of Islam should show a serious reaction to the Zionist regime's insult to the Al-Aqsa Mosque," end quote. Khamenei did not say what sort of response he intended, but he said the Islamic world should make Israel, quote-unquote, regret what it is doing. So this is intriguing because I think this ties in with some of the things that we had discussed with Dan Bertrand Griffey. He's our prophecy scholar. And in essence, what he said is that Israel would do something to provoke Islam, and in essence, Islam would be held back for a little while by Russia in conjunction with something to come in the future. So whether or not that plays out, I think, is very interesting. But regardless, we must pay close attention to this. Now, in the course of digging up some history, I came across this story, which you might find of interest. September 2nd, 2004, from AlJazeera.net. And it says as follows. Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock mosques have come under several attacks since 1967 as Jewish groups prepared for construction of the Third Temple. The Al-Haram al-Sharif, which is the compound housing the Al-Aqsa Mosque, also contains the Dome of the Rock Mosque and is referred to by Jews as the Temple Mount. Israeli politicians in recent weeks have warned that extremist Jews wish to destroy the noble sanctuary with the aim of rebuilding a temple, also known as the Second Temple, which was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. The building of the Third Temple would signify the coming of the Messiah. Jewish organizations have sought to undermine Palestinian control of the Noble Sanctuary since 1967, shortly after Israel captured control of East Jerusalem from Jordan. In 1967, a Jewish group tried to lead prayers within the sanctuary despite a rabbinate prohibition. 2 years later, the entire south wing of the mosque was burned, including a pulpit commissioned by the Muslim leader Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi some 700 years earlier. Israeli authorities claim the perpetrator, Australian Dennis Michael Rohan, a tourist belonging to an evangelical group who hid out in an illegal Israeli settlement, had been mentally unbalanced. So that's the guy who burned the entire south wing of the mosque. He was a tourist, so apparently lots of things to do and see on that vacation. He'd said, oh, let's just burn the second holiest place in all of Islam. And Israel said that he was mentally imbalanced, but he was an evangelical, which I think is noteworthy as well. Again, a lot of people out there praying for sort of the end of the world and doing anything to make it sort of facilitate. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing, folks, religion. I'm not saying faith is dangerous, but religion itself is dangerous, because if you look at religion and that sort of rationale for excusing anything and everything, okay, the Inquisition, the Crusades, I mean, it all done in the name of religion. It's not just one religion. They're all religions are like that. And if we do see, as we sort of talked about last week, this unification among all Islam against the United States, oh, there's another example of crazy sort of rabid blind faith in these religious leaders who will just basically tell people what they need to do. And in this case, it was an evangelical who obviously wanted to facilitate the whole thing. I mean, do people just think that God is just hanging out up there in the clouds and he's like, I sure wish somebody would destroy the Dome of the Rock so I can have my temple because I'm waiting up here. Do they really think we're keeping God waiting? That he's anxious to come down here and sort of wrap things up, and we're just dorking around. So if somebody would only destroy this mosque, the noble sanctuary, as they say, if only somebody would destroy it so God can come back. Because until some tourist blows it up, he's not going to be able to come back. Is that what people really think? It's preposterous. God's just waiting on us. Come on. So anyway, that's what this guy thought. But Go figure. It is what it is. Anyway, the perpetrator there, Dennis Michael Rohan, by his own admission, claimed he was trying to hasten the return of the Messiah by destroying the mosque and rebuilding the temple in its place. That must have been a very long vacation, because not only did he plan on destroying the temple, he was going to destroying the mosque, he was going to rebuild the temple himself. Honey, I'm going to go over here to Jerusalem. Okay, dear. I'll see you in about 30 years or more, if I'm not shot. Rohan's actions, it says, may have alluded to research conducted by Israeli archaeologist Benjamin Mazar, who claimed that the Second Temple stood on the very grounds of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Noble Sanctuary. Mazar's theories fueled more calls for tearing down the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Noble Sanctuary and rebuilding the Jewish Temple. Mazar himself supervised the excavating of tunnels under Al-Aqsa Mosque, which would last until 1988. The use of mechanical excavators caused damage to the mosque, giving rise to cracks and the loss of structural integrity. Although Israeli authorities denied Palestinian claims of damage, a 1996 Jerusalem Post report by Abraham Rabinovich said the following, quote, there was no penetration of the mount itself or danger to holy places. However, midway in the tunnel's progress, large cracks appeared in one of the residential buildings in the Muslim quarter, 12 meters above the excavation. The dig was halted until steel buttresses secured the building. End quote. So in essence, the admission sort of roundabout way that some sort of damage was caused to the building as a result of the excavation process. In 1970, an Israeli activist group called the Temple Mount Faithful tried to ram through the mosque, aiming to destroy it and resurrect the temple. So again, I can't see how that would happen. I mean, at best, they'd destroy the mosque. At best, meaning for their agenda, not that's something I want to see. But at best, they would destroy the mosque and then what? Get shot or get arrested? I mean, I don't know who they think's going to rebuild the temple, but apparently there are many, many groups waiting in the wings waiting to do just that. So it does beg the question that even if somebody were successful in these terrorist ventures of attempting to destroy the mosque, what would happen then? Well, then basically you'd have a war or a conflict of some sort, figuring out who is going to pay for the damage, what is going to be built in its place. So these people are like, yeah, we're going to destroy it and we're going to rebuild the temple. You? No. You're probably going to be dead, if not just arrested forever, because you're going to kick off another holy war, and it's going to be a mess. So then, in essence, you would have people, because people legitimately who think that another temple should be built in order to hasten the return of the Messiah, in essence, people would say, well, now, you know, I wasn't all for the destruction of the mosque, but since it's already destroyed, we really should rebuild the temple there. And then, you know, Muslims would say, you know, I'm so upset about this whole thing, but we will rebuild the mosque and it will be better and bigger than ever before. So then, of course, a lot of people who would have the sort of moral issue of tearing down the mosque to rebuild the temple, once the mosque were knocked down, I don't think they'd have a problem saying, well, we might as well build the temple. So you can see that this is a big issue. In 1982, a former Israeli soldier shot and killed two worshippers at the Dome of the Rock. 2 months later, an Israeli trying to blow up the mosque was arrested. He was later released. So a whole series of things have happened all throughout history. And just in case you'd forgotten or maybe never knew, these significant dates and significant events must be understood in order to contextualize the importance of what is happening right now. It goes on. In 1992, Israeli archaeologist Lean Ritmeyer expanded Mazar's theories of the location of the Second Temple by claiming that it stood directly below the Dome of the Rock Mosque in the Noble Sanctuary. He furthered his claims in the 1996 book, The Ark of the Covenant, Where It Stood in Solomon's Temple, by stating that the Ark, which housed the Ten Commandments, was located in a chamber under the Dome of the Rock Mosque. His claims sparked a renewed interest in tunneling under the Noble Sanctuary. Violent clashes broke out in Jerusalem between Muslim protesters and the Israeli occupation army. 73 Palestinians were killed. Also very, very significant, and also another example of these exact events, these exact issues being raised, as somebody claims this or somebody claims that. Now, I should jump in here with a little anecdote. There have been some allegations that this temple, which would be now the third temple, if it's under the Dome of the Rock, if it's under the mosque, There have been stories that the temple has been rebuilt underground. And that's perhaps some of the reasons why they have these excavations and they have these archaeological digs and so on and so forth. So whether you believe that or not, it is noteworthy as an issue, as an allegation, as an idea. What if the temple were already rebuilt? In which case, we might be in a different place than some of these people think we are. So anyway, you can do the research on that yourself. I had a story on it. I don't remember the source, so I can't give it to you, unfortunately, and I can't find it in this mess of paperwork sitting here on my desk, but I might dig for that a little more in the near future. Story goes on. In 1996, the Temple Mount Faithful. Now, remember, that was the group that tried to ram through the mosque and destroy it and then resurrect the temple. But it says that was in 1970. In 1996, the Temple Mount Faithfuls, obviously still around, 26 years later, they conducted a Gallup poll seeking a referendum on rebuilding the temple over Al-Aqsa Mosque. More than 58% of polled Israelis supported such action. That's a pretty big majority. 58% supported action like that. Put it in context, our president's approval rating is anywhere between 20 and 30%, depending on the day of the week and depending on who conducts the poll. But, you know, 58% said, yeah, let's rebuild the temple. So that should put it in context for you. The group's website says the following, quote, "More than ever, the Temple Mount and the vision of the rebuilt temple have become the focus of Israel," end quote. So I wonder what exactly those poll numbers would look like today. 10 years later, 11 years later at this point. It says the goal of the Temple Mount Faithful is, quote, "the building of the third temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem in our lifetime, in accordance with the word of God and all the Hebrew prophets and the liberation of the Temple Mount from Arab or Islamic occupation so that it may be consecrated to the name of God," end quote. In 1997, that was just a year later, a red heifer, or cow, was born in Jerusalem and was hailed by Jews as a sign of the Messianic age, prompting the building of the third temple. The red heifer is to be used in an ancient Jewish purification ritual, which cleanses Jews who are to begin constructing the temple. However, within the following year, the heifer was found to be unclean. It had a white spot on its body, therefore dashing the hopes for Messianic times. In October of 2001, the Temple Mount Faithful, still around, marched to the Dome of the Rock and anointed two 4.5-ton marble blocks as the cornerstones of the Third Temple. In May of 2003, Rabbi Zalman Baruch Melamed urged U.S. President George W. Bush to support the building of the Third Temple. He said, quote, "The toppling of Saddam's regime opens a window of hope for a new era in the Middle East and the entire world. This, then, is the hour to right the terrible wrong that has been done to the Jewish nation over the past 2,000 years, end quote. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem, a Jewish organization dedicated to the reconstruction of the temple, has carried out blueprint studies of the structure which is to be built once the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque are removed. Well, that's kind of ominous, isn't it? They've got a whole institution planning for the reconstruction process, and they've got blueprints and they've got everything ready to go as soon as the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque are removed. Not vacated, but removed. It says the Institute dedicated a patch of Jerusalem property to begin assembling cornerstones for the building of a quote-unquote mini-temple off-site and then transferring to the Noble Sanctuary once the area has been cleared of the Al-Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock mosques. So again, almost making it sound like it's a field. Like, yeah, as soon as we get this land cleared, then we'll be able to start building. It's very matter of fact, obviously. So this thing is, it's a done deal, folks. I mean, this is in the planning stages. It has been for a long, long time. And further validation, it says members of the Institute have also been assigned with training young rabbis in ritual sacrifices, which are supposed to be conducted within the temple grounds. The Temple Institute says it has recreated the type of vases, pottery, and utensils used in biblical times, which are to be placed inside the third temple, end quote. So that's all from Al Jazeera. I think it's a pretty balanced story as far as, you know, what's going on. I mean, various quotes and historical references. Doesn't seem to be slanted or one-sided in any capacity. But right then and there, folks, you can see that the tensions are extremely high, and they have been. That story's from 2004. Here we are 3 years later, and you can see that as this excavation takes place to repair damage from an earthquake and a snowstorm, at least one of which was 2004, you can see that that story has new significance now. Because it does indicate that this thing is not necessarily just about excavation or repair work, but that there are groups there, there are institutions there, whose sole purpose is to rebuild the temple, and they're already planning for it by having blueprints, by putting down cornerstones, by building a mini temple that will be transferred over, by training young rabbis in ritual sacrifices, and recreating era-specific artifacts to be placed all inside the temple. So this thing is being planned very, very, very well, indicating that, again, once this thing is knocked down, it's not like they're going to be able to build it right away. Got to have a war first. Right? Because otherwise, they can spend all this time and effort rebuilding this temple, and it'll just get knocked down. So, I mean, that'll be the whole focus of Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups the world over. So, obviously, the war has to be fought first before any temple is rebuilt. Watch for it. Stay with us. We're right back in three.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Tell the sky, Lord, fall on me.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Monday evening's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, at least for a few more minutes, and then it becomes Tuesday morning. All right, so final thing here. Remember, we started that new segment. This was on the 6th, okay, of February. This is interesting because it came out, obviously, a month earlier in January. The Jerusalem Post, January 3rd, the Palestinian Security Establishment has advised American and European citizens to leave the Gaza Strip following kidnapping warnings, Israel Radio reported Wednesday. The warnings were also aimed at United Nations Relief and Works Agency personnel who are in Gaza to aid Palestinian refugees. However, the UNRWA said they did not intend to pull their workers out of the area. The warning came as searches continued for a French photographer kidnapped in Gaza on Monday. Most of the kidnapped foreigners have been journalists, but aid workers have also been targets. So right then and there, you can see this was the Palestinians are warning people to get out. So there's something to that, I think, as well. Now, the thing that's most of interest here in my mind is this. The Palestinian government, for the most part, is made up of two groups. So the Palestinians, I guess you could say, Hamas and Fatah, the two political groups. And just recently, they've been urged to unify. Now, there was some sectarian violence, as we hear a lot about that. Basically, two rival groups sort of competing with each other for a variety of different things in a variety of different ways, but usually involves shooting and bombing and killing. Well, under the direction of the Egyptian government, the two factions have agreed to form basically one army. So, and that all happened prior to a lot of the stuff, this excavation process taking place there at the Temple Mount, Dome of the Rock, Noble Sanctuary, whatever term you prefer. It's all the same thing to me. It's a site of extreme tension and inevitably, I think, a big, giant religious war. Because in essence, just think about it. What if it's some, think about if, like, I don't know, Vatican City had a predominantly Muslim population, I guess, right? And then, you know, they were like, well, let's just go ahead and knock down St. Peter's and put up a mosque. I mean, you know, people would be incensed by that. But this, my friends, is the importance to understand, is why it's important to understand the drive of religion as opposed to faith. I don't know of faith, unless it's in a religion per se, as opposed to just a personal relationship with God, I don't know that faith would be just out there decimating various populations and destroying structures and things like that. This just seems kind of wacky to me. Now, that doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean it's not important to understand. It's just I urge you all to examine sort of where your faith is placed, if it's in an institution or if it's with God himself, in which case you might be called on to be upset about something. And, you know, it's much like the Jesus caricatures following on the heels of the Prophet Muhammad caricatures and so on and so forth. The Bible being urinated on just in response to the Quran being violated in Abu Ghraib and so on and so forth. It's all designed to make us angry. Everything, okay, that you hear about in the news, it shows you these extremes, okay? And the extremes are what kick this whole thing off. So when you hear about stuff like this, like illegal immigrants are flooding the country, you know, they're all protesting. There's millions of them gathered here. And while I understand and agree that it's an issue, it's not a reason to say, hey, let's go get the pickup truck and round us up some illegals and beat the crap out of them. You know, it's about a little bit of restraint, I think, a little bit of common sense, a little bit of thought before action, maybe putting the passions on the back burner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention.